Now, this morning we've asked Greg, you know, he's been speaking, but we asked him, since he is a missionary, could he help us as a church to know more how we can help missionaries and encourage them? So he didn't think all this up. We asked him to say this. So if he gives us some real powerful stuff, you can just blame the missions council. So anyway, come on, Greg.
Thank you, Kenz. I'll give you all the credit here. But this is exciting. I love seeing these slides because what they represent to me is the passion of a church to have the world to know. I know as a child I grew up, I would describe it as religious, going to church and being religious. And I can just speak from firsthand experience, not just from Scripture, but I can speak from firsthand experience that religion is insufficient. We see all over the world today what religion does. It really divides people. It creates hatred. It does a lot of bad things. And it doesn't get anybody closer to God. Religion is really just a set of rules that people set up to, you know, this religion has their rules and this religion has theirs. But what these slides represent are people that have dedicated themselves to the gospel. Now, if you're uninformed about church life and this type of church and everything, you'd think, well, what's the difference between the gospel and religion? Well, the gospel, the Bible says, is the power of God unto salvation. And as you've heard me say many, many times from this pulpit over these last several weeks, that the gospel is the power to change lives. And I've had the privilege to travel all over the world. And I can tell you that where the gospel has not been common and where the gospel has not been preached, the darkness is so frightening. You'll find in areas of the world where the gospel is rare, you'll find many problems, social problems. You'll find, example, like women's have little to no rights. They have very little education. There's deep poverty. There's governmental corruption. And, you know, you think that we have problems here, but if you get where the gospel has never been preached, you start to see the darkness of the world. So thank God. And also I noticed that there's a lot of Grace Bible people that have gone out to the mission field. And you know what that says? Okay, you have a great heritage, but it also is a challenge for the future. This cannot stop. You can't just shut the valve off and say we can rest on what we've done. But we must be praying, as we talked about even last week, to pray the Lord of the harvest and that He would send forth laborers. Because I can tell you that there's no more meaningful of a life than a life spent sharing the gospel with people and teaching them about the true and the living God. It's my privilege this morning to speak to you about holding the ropes. You'll notice the title in the bulletin, holding the ropes. And that's really our job here at the church is to hold the ropes for those that go down into the well. That's the picture that I want you to have, is that there's a challenge for each and every one of us to be a part of this. Because as you look at those slides and you hear about faraway places like Papua New Guinea or Kenya, Africa, and places like that, Ghana. It just wasn't that long ago I stood on the border of Ghana. And so some of these places, you know, it's great to see because I've been to so many of these places. It's exciting. But not everybody can travel. Not everybody can go out and serve as a missionary. Not everybody's called that way. But I do believe that if we're here, that our responsibility is to hold the ropes. And I call that missionary care, taking care of our missionaries. The question has been thrown at me, I guess, is what can we do as a church right here in St. Petersburg to do more for our missionaries? You'll notice in the scripture reading this morning, I don't have the time to really get into the details of it, but you'll notice as we read through Philippians and Epaphroditus, the Bible says that he nearly died serving the Lord. Thank God there was Paul that was able to step in, and obviously he did something there to provide some care, and somebody saw that there was a need, and somebody stepped in. And then as we read over there in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, we read in that passage how Paul himself at one point despaired of life. His very life was being threatened and there was despair. And I could go on and I could give you numerous scriptures in the Bible where those that go out to serve are in very, very difficult areas. And as it's already been said, some of these places that are represented on the slides, the gospel's not welcome. I've been in many of these places, you know, in the Middle East. I've been in many places in the Middle East and in North Africa where literally every day of your life you're looking around because you realize that there are threats to your physical life. I remember just a few months ago being in Sri Lanka and then seeing that it's such a minority population there that if you serve God as we do here, literally there are threats on your life. Same thing in Nepal and other places where I've been. And I could go on. But what I would say to us today is that there are things that we can do here locally that can help our missionaries. Now, I want to read one scripture verse. It was not read previously, but one scripture verse in Galatians chapter 6. It says that we are to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And one of the great things about attending a church is that we have a support system. We come here weekly and not just gathering in this building, but throughout the week we have fellowships, we have Bible studies, we have times of getting together with one another, and we support one another. We pray for one another. I was reminded of that just a few days ago when a friend of ours up in South Carolina, you'll think to pray for Ryan Reed. Ryan fell off the roof of a house and he right now is in a coma. And unless God does a miracle, he may not make it. But as soon as the word went out, fellow Christians in his church began to pray. There was a prayer chain that went out and started praying for his wife, Michelle. And this is one of the great things that we have as being a part of a member of a church is that we have a support system. And I couldn't help but think about not just in Galatians, but over and over again in the New Testament, it teaches us the one another's. And I'm sure you've read them yourself. Love one another, prefer one another, receive one another, admonish one another, greet one another, salute one another, forbearing one another. Over and over again, we get this picture that God wants us to help each other out. And that's a beautiful thing that we have as a church that we can help each other out. We can lift each other up and during times of trials and struggles and so on. That's what the church is here for. But let's not forget that the faces that we looked at on these slides, they're still part of the church. And they need that kind of support. In fact, sometimes maybe the need is even more urgent. As you look at some of the situations that they're dealing with, there's a young lady in our church in Jacksonville that just recently came back from the Middle East. And her dad was telling me about every day of her life, the stress of just living in a country where people are hostile to what she believes. And if she were to walk down the street and announce that she was a missionary, she could be in a lot of trouble. Just simply saying I'm a missionary or that I love Jesus, that itself can get you in trouble in certain places around the world. And so there are stressful situations. There are physical demands. There are moral things. There are emotional issues and all of this. And there's scripture that I could give you to all of that. But let's just agree this morning that our missionaries sometimes are serving in very, very trying areas. Now, I'm not here to say that we should feel sorry for them. Because I can tell you right now, I feel one of the greatest calls and one of the greatest privileges that I have in my life is that I get to be a missionary. I was amazed that, you know, over the years and people that kind of feel sorry for me because I'm a missionary. Listen, I feel sorry for people who don't get to be missionaries. I love it. And I want you to realize, though, that though we may love what we do and we appreciate so much that God has chosen to use us, but still there are situations that we really need help. Just let me quickly give you some statistics that will kind of put this into perspective. Every year, about 5% of vocational missionaries leave the field. Now, you think that's not very much, but when you look at the total number, that's almost 8,000 missionaries a year are coming off the field. Nearly 50% of all new missionaries will leave the field within the first 5 years. Now, if you're a business owner, think about if you had a complete turnover every 5 years or at least half your staff. At some point, that becomes problematic when really all you're going to have is just a lot of new people that are being newly trained and language studies and all the things that they have to go through. So we lose a lot of missionaries. Over a 10-year period of time, the average mission agency loses nearly 50% of its people. But listen to this statistic that I think for years has really gripped my heart. 71% of all missionaries leave the field for preventable reasons. Okay, so what that means is that 7 out of 10 missionaries are leaving the field. Now, we said that's nearly 8,000 missionaries. 7 out of 10 of them are leaving the field for reasons that they may not have to leave. Now, I'm not going to throw all the blame on the missionary or on the church, but I'm simply saying is I think that as a church that we should be addressing this situation because these are valuable workers that we ought to do all that we can to keep them healthy and keep them serving and keep them productive on the field. It's not just putting somebody on the field, but obviously we want them to be healthy because they represent Christ. We don't simply want to throw them out there and then every so often we offer up a prayer and say, good luck, and we hope you make it. But we really want to stand behind these missionaries to help them to be healthy. And, you know, let's put it in dollars and cents. This is a statistic I came across, that the annual cost of replacing missionaries is more than $650 million. When you think in terms of sending somebody off to training and putting them out on the road to raise their support and then getting them onto the field and the language studies, it literally takes years to put a missionary in place where they can be effective. If you look at the training and the language studies and all that alone, it can literally be years before they can be effective in serving. And so the cost is in the hundreds of millions of dollars every year. So no matter what your motivation is this morning, I hope that you would catch a little interest in saying, hey, we ought to do more to help our missionaries be healthy. So let me give you some ideas of how you can get more effective in helping your missionaries to be healthy and remain on the field longer and more productive. Number one is pray. You say, okay, Greg, we do pray for our missionaries, but pray, and there's three ways I would give you this praying. Number one, be informed when you pray. Be informed of what's going on. Have you ever watched the news through the eyes of a missionary? When you see a disaster, or when you see a terrorist attack, or when you see a tsunami or something like that, just think in terms of there's probably a global worker in that location, and how does this affect their ministry? You know, you have massive mudslides, or you have a number of people are shot in a terrorist attack or some type like this. And you need to look at the news and be informed of what's going on in the world. In fact, when you communicate with your missionaries, one of the most encouraging things a missionary can get is a letter from somebody that's obviously informed of what's going on in their area. Hey, we're praying for you because we heard such and such, and you're actually informed about what's really going on, so that your prayers are not just generic and general prayers, but they're specific to actually help that missionary to deal with that specific situation. So be informed, be consistent, pray consistently, and be persistent in our prayers. Now, think about this. In many areas, when I'm thinking about right now, a group of people, the Waro people in Guyana, that we are going to do a major outreach to them. Think about a people group where they have not been exposed to the gospel. They have idols and they have gods and they have ideas that are contrary to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so as you pray, pray and realize that there has to be some strongholds have to be broken down. There are some spiritual strongholds that need to be torn down. And by the way, those people need to grow weary of their gods. It's sad when you see people following false gods because you see the hopelessness. You see the agony. You see the desperation in their lives. And so we need to pray that they would open their eyes to the sad situation of their life and that they would at least consider the gospel of Jesus Christ. So pray. So number one, pray. Number two, communicate. Now, it's not simply just write a letter or an email, but there's so many avenues of communication today. I'll give you an example. We were part of a small group one time, not too long ago, where we got together at a home and we Skyped in the missionaries from the Middle East. And they got to be part of the small group. And so while they had games and activities and things during the small group time, the missionaries actually got to share in that. And they actually got to teach part of the study for that night. And wouldn't it be an awesome thing if you had a missionary maybe that is in a certain time zone where it would work out to where when your small group gets together, you could bring them in through a video conference of some type and they could be part of that. What a great way to tie in a missionary with the activity of the local church. Communicate. It's so important. I remember when Wendy and I first went to the field, and of course our situation was unique. Because when we first got to Guyana, the area of Guyana that we were in, we didn't have a phone in our home, and certainly there was no internet. In fact, there was one place where we could go to get the internet, but it was back in the days of the old dial-up, and literally it was so slow you could watch like line by line on the computer. Some days you would sit there for hours hoping you could get to one page, a little at a time. So basically we had virtually no communication with the outside. I remember our first year there when somebody showed up, I think it was around May or June, and we finally heard about who had won the Super Bowl in January. You know, think about being so cut off, you don't even know who wins the Super Bowl. You know, that gives you an idea. So when missionaries are that cut off, you have to look for ways to communicate. But it can be done. And it's so important. They need to hear from the local body, because I can tell you that one of the great struggles that we faced in the early days is the fact sometimes you feel like nobody even knows you're there. You feel like you really are all alone and nobody is there. And that's why it's so important, especially when a missionary is new on the field, make sure that you're communicating with them regularly and encouraging them and helping them through those early adjustment times. So pray, communicate, give. Give. I believe the Bible teaches giving sacrificially. To me, giving to missions is important. And I don't just simply want to tip God, because, listen, giving to missions to me, I believe, makes a difference. I see it from a lot of different perspectives. So it's not just that I want to serve as a missionary, but myself, I want to give so that other missionaries can go and be effective and invest in missionaries, either as a church or as an individual. And you find a ministry that you believe that God is really blessing. Give and give sacrificially. So pray, communicate, give, and then advocate. Advocate. Be an advocate for a missionary. You know, one of the great encouragements that we have found is when there are people that just really fall in love with our ministry and they begin to advocate for us. Because we can't be here when we're in Guyana here in a few months. We can't be here, but wouldn't it be wonderful to know that there's somebody here speaking up for us and saying, hey, you know what's going on in their life today, and you know what they're trying to do, and there's a new outreach they're trying to go to, or a new village, or something like that. Be an advocate. Or maybe there's a need in a missionary's life, and you get on the phone and start calling people. I remember several years ago, a missionary I knew of, that he needed a generator, and a guy got a hold of that, and he began to call his buddies in the business world. They weren't even necessarily part of the church, and he raised up a good set of money just getting on the phone and saying, I'm going to take care of this need. And he called that missionary back and says, don't worry about it anymore. I've got this thing taken care of. That's being an advocate, finding out what the needs are and addressing that. So pray, communicate, give, advocate, and then visit. Visit. And by the way, visits don't always have to be for a vacation Bible school or a building project or something like that. Sometimes you just need to visit just to be an encouragement. I know some people think, well, I'm not a teacher, I'm not a preacher, I'm not a builder. What can I do? Sometimes if you just show up and just be there. A while back, I went to visit some missionaries in Uruguay, and I told them ahead of time, I said, here's one thing, I will come as long as you promise me you're not going to, like, come up with some ministry plan while I'm there. I just simply want to show up. I want to spend the weekend with your family. And in fact, when I got there, I got to be a pirate in his son's birthday party. And that was fun. And sit with the family and listen to their burdens, go play with their kids. I babysat their boys one night while the couple went out to eat. And we just had a great time. I was there about 4 or 5 days, and that was all it was. And it wasn't like a special, preaching service or evangelistic crusade. And I'll never forget when I left, the wife said to me, she said, Greg, I don't know where we'd be if you hadn't showed up. They were really, really struggling. So sometimes it's just a visit. And then sometimes it's a visit to serve, too. You know, I'd love to have a Grace Bible team come and work with us. And, if you want to work with youth, you want to work with children, you want to work with women, you tell me what you want to do and we'll plug you in. We'll get you working. And those are encouraging, too. Go visit. Listen, it's probably cheaper than going to a big vacation. And you won't regret it later, too. You'll think, man, you ever go on a vacation? You think, man, how did I spend all that money and what did I get? Listen, you go on a mission trip and you're not going to leave saying, oh, that was a waste of money. No, it's not. It's a great blessing. So visit. And then finally, serve. Serve right here. You know, one of the most encouraging things is when we come back off the field as missionaries and we see our local churches back here in America that are being faithful to God right where they are. one of the most discouraging things is when you come back here and you feel like God's been programmed out of everything. So listen, right where you are, because some of you might be saying, I just don't feel like God's called me to be a missionary. Yeah, but God's called you to be right here and to serve right where you are. Find that gifting in your life. Find that passion of your life. Listen, it's never too late. It's never too late. You say, well, a lot of years have passed and I've just never really found my niche. Well, find it and embrace it and follow that with a passion. There are a lot of people. You heard me say last week right here in Pinellas County, there's a lot of people that don't know Jesus. A lot of people. Tens of thousands of people. And so what I'm saying is that there's a great opportunity for you to serve right here. So these are some suggestions I have. Learn to pray. Pray effectively. Communicate with your missionaries. Use every available means. Sometimes it's through video. Sometimes it's through email. Sometimes it's through text. Like just yesterday, I talked to a missionary in Trinidad. It was real simple. It's called a cell phone. And it didn't cost anything. They have a U.S. number there. You know, there's things like that you can do that's so easy, so simple. Communicate, give, advocate, visit, and serve. Listen, you have a great heritage here. I'm so excited. Listen, look at those videos. That excites me because I see a church that has a wonderful heritage. But let's not forget that we got to move forward. And here's one of the things I realized about missionary care. Missionary care gets everybody on board. Because all of you have some gift that you can offer. And so what it does, you may not feel called to be an evangelist or to go out and plant a church, but all of you have something special that you can share in missionary care. And you can become more engaged and let the whole body begin to serve together as you serve these missionaries and to cause them to be more effective and more productive where they're serving. It's all, at the end of the day, it's all about bringing glory to God and bringing the gospel to the lost world. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, God, for this opportunity just to speak on behalf of missionaries that this church has a wonderful, wonderful heritage. But God, there's many opportunities even today. There are missionaries right now that are struggling. Some of them are discouraged. They're facing life where every day people are opposed to everything that they do and everything that they stand for. There is a missionary out there right now that perhaps has not heard from somebody in their home church for weeks, for months. And they're wondering, does anybody care? There's a teenager or a young boy or a girl that while they really respect mom and dad and what they're trying to do, but they just don't understand why does anybody talk to me? It's hard to be a teenager on the mission field. It's hard to be a child on the mission field. Maybe there's a wife that feels very lonely. Her husband's busy today and out serving. She feels left behind. She's caring for her home. She's doing the best she can, but it's hard. Because where she lives, maybe the conditions are not ideal. There's a missionary couple that maybe they're learning the language right now and it's not coming as easy as they thought it would. And they fear failure. What are they going to tell their family and friends that they so passionately raise their support, but now that they're there, they begin to doubt whether they can do what God's called them to do. There's a thousand scenarios that I could speak of, Lord, this morning. But God, this church can stand up and help and address some of these needs. Sometimes it's through prayer. Sometimes it's through a simple note. Handwritten card just to say I care and I'm praying and I love you. Sometimes it's a visit just to get on an airplane, fly to a different place, just to sit down and to let somebody know that they're not forgotten. And Lord, sometimes it's just a matter of us getting busy right where we are, realizing that we admire our missionaries for the accomplishments that they're doing on the far reaches of the world, but right here in our own county, God, there's so much that needs to be done. So whatever it is, God, I pray this morning that you'll get a hold of our heart and help us, God, to see where we can serve. In Jesus' name, amen.